I'm really honored to be in this room preaching with Pastor John Ruhr and his lovely wife. 19 years ago, Pastor John, I met him right here in New Zealand, and he spoke into my life. I mean, he does what he loves doing very well. And, you know, I just know that part of what is happening in our life is because of the word that, you know, God used this man to speak into our lives. It's good to be in this great facility. How many of you are excited to be here? Our God is a good God. Great job, Pastor Richard and the team here are doing amazing job. And really, I'm so, you know, excited about the theme of this particular Sunday. How many of you know what this Sunday is about? Yeah. Dominion. Everybody say dominion. Dominion. I mean, you better know what dominion is, because before you leave here, you'll be riding on high. So today's topic is taking dominion. Everybody say taking dominion. Say taking dominion. Now, I hope you're not having problem hearing my Nigerian Hausa accent. I'm doing good. Yeah, so please, I love, you know, when you preach along with me. So I said the topic for today is taking dominion. Let's say it together. Now, your pastor said I should raise this roof, and I want to raise it. That kind of volume will not raise this roof. I want us to read from Genesis chapter 1. That's the text for today. If we can all stand up in honor of the word of God, and I'm going to read Genesis chapter 1 from 26 to 28. I'm reading New King James Version. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And in verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Father, Lord, we come before you this morning. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence here. We even thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in this place where it represents the preaching of the gospel. And that is what you've called us to do in this land. Lord, I pray, open our eyes to a new dimension of what it means to have dominion, to take it, and to maintain the dominion that you have given to us individually, as a corporate body, and as a church in this nation. Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit will speak to us today. We welcome you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today, you may be seated. Thank you. You guys are very obedient. You just stood there. Today, I want to achieve three things together with you guys here today. Number one, I want to also see from the scripture that dominion is not a man's agenda, it's God's agenda. It's God's mandate. Number two, I want also that we learn some truths on how to take and maintain dominion. And finally, I want to call all of you here to rise up into that mandate that God has given to us. God's intention in this scripture we read is in Genesis chapter 1. If you know that, that's the first book in the Bible, and this is the first chapter, And there's something very significant about the first, about the number one. And here we see in this scripture, God clearly declares his intention for his creation. There was no ambiguity in this scripture. In fact, this scripture, I refer to it as the mission statement of God. You know, the mission statement is something you put out there even before the start of a thing. You clearly declare that this is what you want this thing to achieve. As a movement, every nation, we have a mission statement. Our mission statement, we are a global family of churches to honor God, make disciples by planting churches and being socially responsible. I might not have quoted it exactly the way it is, but that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. There's a mission statement. And here we see God declaring his mission statement. Everybody say mission statement. Now, what do we see here in this scripture? God wanted to create man. God wanted to create mankind. God wanted to create mankind to have God-like qualities. The qualities of God. He says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God wanted man to have God-like qualities. Number three, God wanted to create man to hand over to man the dominion. If you know, he had already created the plants, the animals, the fish, everything that you can imagine. And then God says, now let us create man so that we can hand over, amen? We can hand over the dominion over all this my creation to man. That was God's intention. Now, let me try to clarify a couple of points before we move on. God says, let us create man in our image. You know, the best way to actually give this illustration is that, you know, if you have a mirror and you look into the mirror, what do you see there? What do you see in the mirror? I mean, just get it closer. You see your image, isn't that so? You see your image in the mirror, is that not so? Now, when you look at that image in that mirror, that image will do exactly everything you do. If you squeeze your mouth, it will do that. If you move your head, it will move his head. Isn't that so? So God created you and you in his image so that when he moves, you can move. When he jumps, you can jump. When he says, you can say. When he's got dominion, you have dominion. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Raise the roof. Wonderful. Now, another thing I want you to understand here is that when God created man, there was no reference point. There was no other man. There was no precedent. God created man, and that was it. I mean, we know, if you are in university, that if you are doing a research, you go to the library and there is a body of work that you research. There are references you make in that library. Something has been done before you. And you go in and you research. But in this case, when God created man, there was no reference point. So it's very important to listen to what God has to say after creating man. Because that is going to really program man to accomplish something that is so unique that has never been accomplished before. So whatever God says to that man is creation. It's very important. And I think we need to listen to that today. Because it's for us. Amen? You know, I know a lot of you are very IT-oriented computer. You know about programming in computers. People who create computers, they program each computer to perform a different function. Is that not so? I mean, the computers that does the NASA spaceship and everything function is programmed differently from the laptop that you use. I was talking to Pastor John yesterday. He was telling us how his son in America could go into his computer even when he's here. And he's able to do some things on his computer. How do you think that happened? Because that computer has been programmed. That computer has been programmed to do that. So God, here is God in creation, and he had to program man to do something. And what he says is very important. Because it will speak to the instinct of man. It will speak to the capacity of man. It will speak to the fruitfulness of man. It will speak to the growth of man. What God says is very important. So it is important to listen to that. Because that's where we're going this morning. So we see here, then God blessed them. And God said to them, listen to that, look to your neighbor and say this after me. Look to your neighbor, say, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. That's what God did. What do you think God was doing? He was programming man. He was putting all the software in man by what he said. Another thing that is very important to take note in this communication between God and man is that God says in that scripture, be fruitful. Be is a verb. It's an active verb. It's like a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. It's almost like be, no choice. Because I'm not going to create something that is not going to be fruitful. I'm not going to program something that is not going to take dominion. I'm not going to create anything that will not represent what my kingdom is all about. So it says be. Everybody say be. Look to your neighbor, say be. Look to the other person, say be. If they refuse to be, make them be. Okay. So now, we have established the fact that God is a God of dominion. It's God's mandate. It's not man's idea. I think it's very important for you to understand that. Because at times we throw these things around. It's almost like, well, they just want me to do this. They just want me. No. This is... When God created, that was his intention. And he made that very clear from the beginning of creation. So let's look at some ways we can take and maintain dominion. Because that's what this is all about. This is not about trying to say, did we have dominion? Were we given dominion? Is dominion something we need? No. It's settled that we are... people of dominion. So how do we take dominion and maintain it? I have a couple of scriptures. Genesis chapter 13. I want to read from verse 14. And you are going to help me a little bit in this very one, in the first verse. And the Lord said, and this is a scripture. When God called Abraham, you know from Genesis 11, God called Abraham from his country, from his people. And Abraham went with Lot. And then when they were traveling, they had some disagreement and they had to separate. And when they separated, Lot was Abraham's nephew. When they separated, then God came to Abraham and spoke to him. And in this particular verse, it says, and the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him. Now, I want you to follow me as I read this. I want you to act it out. Lift up your eyes now and look. Lift up your eyes. Look southward. Southward. Look southward. Let me see if you get it. Where's south? Everybody's confused now. Look eastward. Eastward. Okay. Look. You confuse me too. Okay, don't worry. But anyway, it says, lift up your eyes now. Look from the place you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. So that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. In verse 17, arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Everybody say dominion. Dominion. Say dominion. Dominion. Now you see God here activating what he had already programmed in Abraham. He's just activating it. And he's asking Abraham to look different direction as far as he could see. And then not only that, to walk the land. And he says, everywhere you walk, I'll give it to you, not just for now, but forever. Everybody say forever. That's very important. That's very key. He's giving it to Abraham forever. And Abraham, in verse 18, this is very critical to us. Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the tamarind trees of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Built an altar there to the Lord. God showed him the dominion that he has been created for. And the next thing Abraham did was to build an altar. He moved his tent. He built an altar that could represent church for him at that time. Just like this place represents church for us. That could represent a place of worship in your home. That could represent a place where you have a personal encounter with God, because God has spoken something into your life that is so big, so huge, you cannot just do but to come to a place of prayer and worship and surrender and say, Lord, it's all about you. So Abraham went, instead of doing any other thing, he just went and built an altar. This house here is a response. This moment here is a response to the things that God has shown us as every nation in this city. Not only in this city, in this nation. God has asked us to look northward, eastward, westward, southward, any world we can look to. And God has asked us to march. And we are saying, Lord, this is so huge. And here we have a place where it's consecrated, where it's built to bring about the accomplishment of the great vision of dominion. To engage our community, to make disciples, to reach the homeless, to bring people from outside into the kingdom. That is why this place is very significant. I believe that in your heart, Pastor Richard. You know you know God has programmed you guys to have dominion. Yes. And he's shown you all these great things and said, God, how can we? And then this happens as a place of prayer. That's why my first point here is that taking dominion requires building an altar of prayer. Taking dominion through the altar of prayer. Because when Abraham saw the greatness, he built an altar to worship God. When God shows you something, where's the first place you go? When God impresses something on your heart, where's the first place you go? Do you go to talk shows, or you go to GQ magazine, or you go on the internet to check it out? No. You go to God. You said this? I believe so, Lord. We're going to do this together. And in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12 to 13, Leviticus chapter 6, 12 to 13, God was talking to the priest what they need to do in the place of the altar. A place of the altar is a place of prayer. It's a place of worship. It's a place of dedication. It's a place of surrender. It's a place where we seek the face of God, where we say, God, we can't do this on our own. What you have called me to do, I cannot. I'm looking up to you. So God told the priest in Leviticus chapter 6, he says, and the fire on the altar, are you seeing that word again, altar, shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay burnt offering in order on it. It shall burn on it till the fat of the peace offerings. And in verse 13, very significant, a fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go down. The fire, everybody say the fire. I heard you had a literal fire here. But God is bringing Holy Ghost fire. He says the fire shall continue to burn on the altar. It shall never, everybody say never, go out. That's how you establish dominion. Where on the altar of God, there is continuously fire, a sacrifice of our life. Everything that we have belongs to him. And when that is happening, the voice of God will be going out from this place. I remember one time we were praying late in the night, and the Lord showed us. He said, I'm going to round up all these drug addicts that are selling drugs and killing people in this community. And I declared that in the prayer time. I declared that. Boom. That was on a Saturday. Maybe Friday to Saturday. It was Friday to Saturday prayer time. So this was Saturday. And then we woke up on Saturday, and it was all over the news. Helicopters, police cars. They started raiding a community, and they started arresting all these drug barons. They started packing them and taking them away. And somebody called me and said, Pastor, he said, yes. He said, you know that prayer we're praying, and you said this? He said, it's already happening. In the place of God's altar, when you keep the fire burning, it will speak to nations, it will touch our campuses, it will touch our government, it will touch the nooks and corners of the city, because the altar is continually burning. So we see it here. When the fire is burning, Jesus is at the center of it. How many of you know it's all about Jesus? Jesus is at the center of it. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer to all nations. He's at the center. That's his heart. As we keep the altar on the fire burning. Finally, in this, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 to 16. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon. This was when Solomon was dedicating the temple, just as we are doing right here. Solomon dedicated the temple, and God appeared to him in the night. I have heard your prayer. I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and heal their land. How many of you know if there's commotion out there and the fire on the altar is in here, it's in your house, it's wherever you are, and you are declaring, Lord, have mercy upon this nation. Lord, rain your power upon this nation. Let your salvation come upon this nation. Let things happen. How many of you know that people will be wondering, where, what is happening? Something is happening. Some people are doing something. They are shifting things. They are raising the roof. I mean, there's something moving. It's just like Elijah that told the King Ahab. He says, I can hear the sound of an abundance of rain. He says, saddle your horse because rain is coming. And Elijah went to a place of prayer and kept praying. He built an altar there and rain came. We can take this nation. I'm telling you. We have great programs. We have great facilities. We have great, but you know, we can take this nation when we keep that fire continuously burning. Pastor Richard, we keep the fire continuously burning on the altar. And we'll see the glory of God. Number two, taking dominion through consecration. Through consecration. You know, God says, have dominion. We have been given that dominion. But walking in that dominion and maintaining that dominion through consecration. When God called the children of Israel, he called them to go to the promised land. And through Abraham, through Isaac, and now we have Jacob to take the children of Israel into the promised land. Jacob knew something, that what they are about to enter is to take the land. The land that Abraham looked northward, eastward, southward, westward, the land that he walked, it's already given to them, but they needed to take it. And Jacob knew something. One thing is very important. He called the people. He said here in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself, consecrate yourself, set yourself apart for the use of the King of Kings. Dedicate your life to be used by God. Say, Lord, there is dominion here. Use me. I consecrate myself. I set myself apart. I dedicate myself to be used for your glory. It says, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The land you're marching towards is already given to you. But we need to set ourselves apart. God is calling some people here today. Maybe you have not, it's almost like you're not sure, you're sure, you know, you're just, he says, no. This dominion is for you. Will you consecrate yourself to enter into it? To see the wonders of God? To see the power of God? To see God in action? In our land, in our city, in our university. I pray today we will see that happen in our midst. This is very important. The last point here is very important.
Because there's something, first and foremost, we need to step into in order to take and maintain that dominion. Because the dominion, most times people are not walking in it because they haven't actually set themselves free from that mandate that was stolen in the garden with Adam and Eve. That Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came and died the death that we should have died. In our place, he took the pain so that we can enter in. He opened the door with the blood that he shed on the cross. And he says, now come, enter in, take dominion. But there needs to be an entering in. There needs to be that. Maybe some of you are here today. You love the fact that you have been created to take dominion, but you haven't actually entered in. Maybe you have looked at this Christianity thing as, oh, but thank God for this wonderful place. God has provided this now so that we can come in and we can hear things like this and we can take absolute control and charge. In 1 John, if you go to the next slide, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, whatever is born of God overcomes. We're talking here about, are we all born of God? Do we understand that? Are we entered in through the sacrifice that Christ paid for us? Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The reason why we're here, the reason why we are dedicating this building is because of the love of God that we have already experienced and wants us to pass it on to others. Are you living in that zone? It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Let's rise up. I want to invite the worship team to come forward. Are you here today? You just feel that you don't have that sense. And I believe that heaven will be rejoicing because we have been praying for you. You see, forget this building. It's not really about the building. It's about you. It's about you. It's about those people that will come in here. Thank God we have the four walls. But it's not really about that. I believe the reason why God brought you here to hear this is so that you can leave this place knowing fully well that you are not a chicken. You are an eagle. That you are not a failure. You are an overcomer. That you have everything that is possible to achieve the destiny that God has for you programmed into you. The power of the word that God speaks, the power of the word you speak to. So it doesn't really matter. Maybe that's why you're here today. You said, I love that dominion. I want to take that dominion. I want to take that first step. I understand that Christ came, he died for me. He loved me. I was a sinner. I was far away. When Christ came for me, it was a miracle. It was a miracle. I was in a service like this. I couldn't hold back tears because it was so beautiful. I thought, me, how can that be? But it really did. Since then, I've never turned back. Since then, I've never. I'm not perfect, but I've never turned back. And I've seen that dominion over and over operational in my life. Are you here this morning? You want to say yes to the Lord. You want to say, yes, Lord, take me. I consecrate myself. I surrender myself. I give myself to you. Take me, mold me, use me. Here I am, Lord. I just feel there are some people here this morning. They really feel they want to take that step into that dominion. The enemy has lied to them many ways and told them they are a failure, they are good for nothing. He told me that many years. But the moment I realized I was good for a lot of things, I smashed his head. Really, sincerely. Is that you this morning? You are saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Take the whole of me. I might not have the complete picture, but thank God that's why this church is here. That's why we're here. We're going to get a complete picture. You can't get it in a service like this. But there's something stirring within you that's telling you there's more to the way you are. There's more to the life you're living. There's more. You're not waking up every morning and you're feeling down, beaten down. Or you're not going out and you feel, I'm good for nothing. There's nothing I can do. Nobody cares. They can't hire me. I can't do this. I can't do that. You just have all this I can't labeled over your life. But this morning, God is breaking that right now. And he's setting some people free. I feel that. God is setting some people free right here. You are entering into it. Will you take the first step? Will you take the first step? If you want to take this first step, just put up your hands. I'm just going to pray with you wherever you are. Thank you. Thank you. I just want the leaders and ushers to look around of the people putting their hands to take the first step. Just look. Quite a number of people putting up their hand. Just look at them. They're putting up their hand. They say, yes. Enough is enough. Rabboshe. Now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I just take authority over the lie of the enemy over your life. I declare as I am here that you are created to serve God. You are created to love God. You are created to be part of his kingdom. Nothing is going to keep you away. No lie is going to keep you away. For therefore there is no condemnation. Because now you are in Christ Jesus. The blood of Christ has set you free. The greater one is living in you. Greater is he that is in you. Right now, rise up, man of God. Rise up, woman of God. Become that which God has called you to be. Fulfill your purpose in the mighty name of Jesus. For unto God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask for, according to his power that is at work within you. To him be glory in this place, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. This house is a fantastic place for the glory of God.
Wow. Praise Jesus. Can you please take your seat where you are? Thank you, Pastor Joshua. If we can just close our eyes, please. This is not in the program, but I've just got a horrible habit of going after people who really want Jesus. Can we just close our eyes? I believe there's a couple of people at least in the building this morning. Don't have a relationship with Jesus, or you once did, but you've walked away. This can be your day, friend. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to go away and try and improve yourself. None of that will work. It's just surrender. Saying, Jesus, I want you and all of you. Just while eyes are closed this morning, we're just going to pause. Have an opportunity for you to respond to that. In the quietness and the sacredness of this moment, God has come down to speak to your heart. I believe there's at least a couple where your heart's beating right now. It's beating solid because you know this is your moment. On the count of three, I want to invite you to put your hand up nice and high. And by putting your hand up, you're saying, Pastor, that's me. I've been away from God. I want to make peace with God today. I want him to forgive me. I want him to live in my heart. I want to become a Christian. I want to stop running. And I want to follow him. On the count of three, we're not going to delay this much longer. Just on the count of three, if that's you this morning, you want Jesus, please put your hand up. One, two, three. Thank you for the hand. Thank you for the hand. Those hands right there. Three hands. Thank you for your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. You can put your hand down now. Those three people that put your hand up, I want to invite you, after the celebration and the fun, after the service concludes, would you come and find me or find one of our leaders? We would love to talk with you, to pray with you, and to help you in your new relationship with Jesus and lead you to Christ. Amen? How about that? Three souls right there. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor Joshua. I'd like to invite Prophet Pastor John Rohr to share a few thoughts.
Just put your hand on your heart. You know, it's from the heart that the issues of life flow. It's with the heart that we believe. It's with the heart that we love Jesus. It's with the heart. Lord, thank you for the heart of this nation. Lord, you set this nation apart. I don't know why I'm here. Well, I know why I'm here. I just don't know why it was me. Why me? But I know deep down inside I was born to be here. I was born for this very moment. Even when I was a youth and I despaired of life, I just had this sense that God had something important for me to do, though I didn't know what it was. There's not one person in this room that's here by coincidence. Not one. Every tribe and tongue of this nation gathered in one place. Born to be here. I believe that little mouthy young lady who called us in was born to do that. I don't know where you are in this room, but you were born to do that. Auntie Ray, you were born to be the one to lead us into this place of honor. You were born for this. Like me, you fought every devil in hell to stand in that place. We had to get the devil off of you this morning, didn't we? Oh, yeah. She was born to do that. Why that? What is the big... Pastor Joshua, that was an amazing... Was that an amazing message? And you began at the end, you said something very important. You said the big picture. There is a big picture. And what does the prophetic do? It gets a glimpse. I get glimpses of a big picture. And what is the big, but what was the picture that the Lord's trying to give us in that? See, the Maori, they were the caretakers of the land. They were led here. And you know, I do believe this was the land of the great white cloud. I do believe that the Holy Spirit of God hovered over this nation to protect it. You know, this nation was sought after. There were people trying to find. That's why the whole legend, you know, the great light. I don't believe it's a legend at all. Oh, no, I believe God, for this moment. See, if I couldn't believe that, if I couldn't believe I was born for moments, if I couldn't believe that there was significance in my life, there is, every one of you in this nation fights for your sense of significance every day of your life. True? God called you here for this moment. What was happening? Well, if you go over into the book of Ruth, you'll find that Ruth was not legitimate. She had no family name. So another named Boaz, she was told by her aunt actually to go lay by at the feet of the bed. And when he woke up, he found her there, and he called her my daughter. He called her my daughter. And he became what scriptures call the kinsman redeemer. The kinsman redeemer. And this moment, this procession, was a moment that we were legitimized. Ani Ray, only you could have done that. It's because she understands. See, she doesn't just understand. You believe what I'm saying, Ani Ray? Oh, yeah. See? You and I, it had to be you and I because we believe this. I don't know if you get this or not, but we get it. We get this. Pastor gets this. Joshua gets this. You're getting this. We were legitimized in the nation. You were born for this moment. And in a moment, he's legitimized us in this nation. And you're going to find now that new churches are going to spring up. This man has a vision for 15 churches in New Zealand. There'll be many, many more than that. Just before the Pastor Joshua came up, I went over to Taulu and I grabbed him and I said, I'm coming back for the day we dedicate your building. Huh? I'm coming back for the day, Rowena? Yeah, I'm coming back for the day. Stand up. I'm coming, thus says the Lord, you were born for such a time as this. This is your land. You have been legitimized into this land. And no, says the Lord, you're going to begin to explode. You're going to explode with faith and vision. And I have a place set aside for you. And you'll take a back seat to no one, says the Lord. For my hand is upon you, and you're going to step from this day forth into a new authority. A new authority. You're going to begin to command the people, and they're going to respond. Lift your hands to the Lord. Remember, Pastor Joshua read that scripture, Joshua, sanctify yourself before the Lord. Kinsman Redeemer. You see, Jesus was born a man to become a son, so that he could, in his death, legitimize us. And in Isaiah 45, he says that I have now surnamed you. Now, in the United States of America, where I come from, I say surname. Most people don't even know what that is. But you know what a surname is. That's your last name. That's your family name. And Jesus said an interesting thing. He said, you know, yet my name is John Peyton Rohr. But Jesus said, no longer are you John Peyton Rohr. You're John Peyton Rohr Jesus. Ooh, you like that? Oh, yeah, lift your hands to him. Lord, in a moment's time, I thank you that we're of your family. Yes, we're all members, brothers and sisters in the family of God. Lord, let that reality, Lord, as we our hands raised, consecrate ourselves. That means to set ourselves apart, to set ourselves apart to be holy, to set ourselves apart to love one another as he has loved us. I break every curse of sectarianism over this nation. I break every curse of prejudice and division over this nation. Lord, allow the Maori to stand up and be who they are, not just the nation of Maori, but the nation of Jesus. You know, when Samuel Marsden came here, he came here with a kinsman redeemer. Come on now. Is that right, Pastor Richard? What was his name? What was that? Rotorua. He came and Samuel Marsden was a dead man if he didn't have a kinsman redeemer to step. Lord, I thank you that you birthed this nation into your family years, centuries ago now. Lord, thank you for the big picture. We're part of it. Are you glad to be part of it? Stand up where you are. Are you glad to be part of it? Just lift your hands to Jesus. Are you glad to be part of it? Oh, Lord, I'm so glad. Oh, Lord, thank you. I'm so glad to be here. I'm so glad it got to be me. 38 years ago I came, 38 years ago, and I just keep coming back. I've got to come back. My oldest daughter, Mary Ellen, died in Australia, and we left her buried there because we left our seed in the southern land of the Holy Ghost. In 3 days, we're going to go visit her grave. We're going to put flowers on that grave because I sowed a daughter into this land. And Lord, I thank you that she lives. She lives. Her life lives. You promised me that her life, her testimony would change the lives of countless people around the world. And so it has, and so it is. She lives. She lives. If you've ever lost a child, that child lives. Lord, now, are you ready to live? Are you ready to live? I mean to really live, not go through the motions. I mean really live. You know what the will of God is? The will of God is doing what you were born to do. I feel like I'm doing what I was born to do today. You can't take that away from me. Oh, is that what you want? Well, and on the count of three, I'm going to end this, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to shout with all our hearts before the Lord, I want to live. I want to live. And as we do, we're going to break the power of death and suicide. I'm so grateful for this lady right here that's just a couple of doors away. You're Maudie, aren't you? Yeah, come here, hon. Yeah, reach your hand out to her. I want to pray for this woman. Lord, I thank you for her and her sister, Lord, for the vision that you've given her for the discarded, the hopeless, the ones that no one cares about. She cares, Lord, and we care, and we join with you today, hon. You're part of our family. We love you, and I bless her, Lord, and I pray healing into her body, and I pray prosperity and health, Lord, and finance, more money than you know what to do with, because you'll do the right thing with it. Lord, I thank you for her. Thank you, hon. Thank you, Jesus. 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 All right, on three, are you ready? Okay, 3, 2, 1. I want to live. I want to live. I want to live. Amen. Amen. Woo.
Are you awake this morning? Man, you better sit down. We've got you doing a full-on workout today. We're going up, we're going down. We don't want you falling asleep down there. Praise God. Wow, thank you, Pastor John. I hope you caught the spirit of that, an impartation. We're a spirit people. Great, I'm sure. We just want to show you the story. Our media team have managed to catch the story of the facility, but once again, it's not the building. It's about what it can do for us. Buildings are just tools. People of the cause. And so please listen up, watch up, and see the story. Thank you.
Early 2018, I think it was, where I was just thinking about where we as a church are going, that pretty much just but the idea of taking the cost of renting a school hall and the cost of renting our church office, and by adding 10% to that, would that then get us into a place that we could have 24/7? We began to look in the marketplace, and we thought our affordability, the size that we needed, quite a few months after that time, an agent got a hold of us and said, hey, there's a property down over here at Eden Terrace, and it's way outside your scope in terms of size. It's pretty much double what you're looking for, but it's at a really good price. And we stepped into this massive concrete box to, okay, what's going on? And the more we thought about it, the more really a sense of God was coming into the mix because the owners were incredibly generous. But they said, hey, we'd like you to have the mezzanine floor and the top floor as well.
When I first came and saw the building, it was really exciting, actually. Quite daunting, a big, big space. But I could see that, as was described to me, what could be done to use, and that was just an amazing blessing.
I remember it really dropped in my spirit, that meeting we had at Wellesley Street office, where he had come with a concept plan. And for the first time, we're able to see an auditorium with, you know, hundreds of chairs, and you could see a space for the children and the cafe and the flow and the layout at night. That really became exciting. It was a definite pickup in terms of or believability. Like, this is God. This could work. And it felt like a real big step of faith. But I felt in my spirit that it was time. It was time to establish a home. If you think about, you know, Joshua in the Bible, or David and Goliath, you know, Peter stepped out of the boat and walked, all those beautiful stories, there was a strong sense in my heart that it was time to do something radical for Jesus. There were two distinct moments that if X amount of money was not on the bank within 24 hours, we were going to have to negotiate with our debtors.
I remember us having an impromptu meeting on a footpath in Brisbane, having had a call that, right, we need to really pray because God needs to come through at this time.
One of the major factors to our timeline and our cost was the council, the Auckland City Council, and that's challenging. You think you've got it, but then when the goalposts keep getting moved, it caused delay and extra cost. I mean, tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it was very faith-stretching at times, but God came through for us many, many times, financially particularly. Very last moment sometimes, last minute, but, you know, we've done a lot of growing.
Along the way, that God is with us, and we needed to rely on that sometimes when times got really tough, when bills had to be paid and you had so much in the bank. So in June 2018, we got a prophetic word from Pastor Larry Matsuwaki, which Pastor Larry would not have known it then.
You are entering the greatest season of the church. It's the time to build. It's the time to build lives. It's the time to build in the community. The building may seem overwhelming, the cost may be huge, but remember, is there anything too hard for God? Get ready, for the harvest is coming.
And so this echoes our heart that it's not just for convenience, but it's about the harvest that's coming. Throughout the journey, it became quite clear to me that God wasn't just building a physical building, he was building us as a church. It's increasing our capacity to handle thousands and hundreds and thousands of more people. We have worked our way through it, pulled the team together. We've had stresses and strains, and whether it's tradies and payments and our primary contractor, volunteers, just all of those components working together. So there was a time, one Sunday, that we had our service at Auckland Girls, and we invited the church over here. It was a big concrete box. People came in. We had a few projectors around the place, kind of projecting images to show what could be, just raw vision. And I remember standing over here somewhere on a little two-step ladder, and everyone was in a circle and just shouting and hollering because the echo was so bad. It was hard to hear each other.
Yeah, it was very special, actually, and I think that then birthed the labour force that was needed to actually take on the project. You know, there's something to be said for participating in something that it brings buy-in and makes people own it. And people get a lot of their time.
We've also been incredibly blessed by other churches. All of our chairs in the main auditorium were given to us by another church. We received 3 truckloads of furniture from a big church in Auckland City. We totally see God's hand in the vision. It's totally happening. People are hanging around and enjoying catch-ups. Parents and kids can come together in this cafe space. We've got a home for youth. Karaka nights wouldn't happen if we didn't have this facility. So bringing it all together under one roof and calling it our place is incredible. It's beautiful. That's the consistent message from these people. We feel peace. We feel God's presence. We feel welcome. We feel accepted. That's exactly what we want. We put a stake in the ground and say, this is where we are. We have a home and we're going nowhere. And in fact, we're going to advance and see more students, more families, more couples, more singles, more people, more nations get saved, get added to the church, get baptized, more services to start, more church plants to do.